So we're here in Pavilion Gardens with...
Katie Dash.
And...
Michael Smith.
From Paddle Boat Theatre Company, who brought two shows to the Fringe this year, according to Arthur, and what's the other one?
A Little Man's Holiday.
That's it, A Little Man's Holiday. I prefer it from you. And you create children's theatre, and in your publicity, you have a particular approach to that, don't you?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we work directly with children to create our shows. So according to Arthur, has been developed in a residency with year 5 and 6 from White Rock Primary School. And so their creativity goes straight into our shows. And we take that into the rehearsal process and develop our shows that way.
Michael, you're not wearing it now, but a moment ago you were wearing a hat. So tell us about the hat.
The hat is for our swashbuckling children's show, A Little Man's Holiday, which is about a man who quits his job, his boring job in the city, to pursue a career as a pirate, which began as a Battersea Arts Centre commissioned piece to teach children literacy skills and piracy in year two.
So these children that are heading for jobs in offices, you know, this is a kind of message to them, is it?
Oh yeah. It's about not sticking with something you don't love. It's about following your dreams and being brave, I guess, and imagination.
So in a world, and I know you're headed to Edinburgh Fringe, that has created children's theatre that nearly always is just loaded with kind of TV references and dumbs down and addresses them, you know, with bright colours and garishness and, you know, quite a lot of patronising. You don't do that. So take us into the actual process of working with the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. So we initially start off with a stimulus and then the children create their ideas around that, and we workshop that with them. Then their creativity, we take back into the rehearsal process, change that up, and we always make sure that we've got a lot of audience interaction throughout the show, and that has real poignancy in our piece. So it doesn't just happen at one moment, it happens throughout the show, and actually without the children there, the show couldn't continue.
According to Arthur, we developed in a school, helping the school teach their curriculum, which was all about global cultures at the time. So we were teaching things about China, things about Brazil, but using drama skills to work with the kids. So we had a session on child poverty in Brazil, but teaching puppetry and working out how these things gel together, and then bring that back into a workshop to work on our pieces.
So when you listen to kids, I mean, obviously they're telling you, we don't want to end up in some boring office in the city. What other things are kids telling you today?
Oh my gosh. Kids are very interested in the nitty-gritty of the characters. And so, for example, with Arthur, we've got an old man, and we presented the first 10 minutes of our piece, introducing him. And just from that, they had so many questions about him, about his family, about his past life. What did he do? Did he have a job? How old is he? Where did he work? And it was just... That kind of taught us a lot about how to create and define a character. They also tell us to push our work further, so whenever we get to a point, they're always like, and then what happens next, and what happens after that, and that really drives us on to push our work.
We get a lot of references to things like Doctor Who and Minecraft from the kids. What we get a lot from that is that desire to want to create their own worlds and kind of push the boundaries of exploration, and that kind of idea that they're on the brink of something, they're on the brink of kind of their adult lives, and they want to go out and find their own footing in the world. I think that's quite special.
I mean, I guess there's an opportunity here as well, because there are quite a lot of digitally addicted kids who spend hours on Minecraft, and their imagination is getting limited by that. And so is this a chance for them to break free a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. But also when we're working with them, we allow them that freedom to maybe bring a bit of Minecraft into the work that they create. And then from that, just take it further. And they just go so far with a small idea that it's really important to listen and to verify their creativity.
Yeah. And so when you've got all those ideas gathered in, does somebody then or group sit down and actually, you know, churn a script out?
Yeah, so we've got a script writer, Stuart Cottrell. He's part of the company. He wrote according to Arthur. And so we sit down after we've done our residency. We block through the scenes, and then Stuart goes away and writes it. And the special thing about according to Arthur is that it's written all in verse. And so he found that quite challenging. But it's beautiful, and we've had so many comments that it's like a perfect... bedtime story, and in fact according to Arthur is going to be developed into a picture storybook that we're hoping will be ready in time for Christmas, because when we did our first scratch, we had teachers coming up to us being like, is this in a storybook form? I'd really love to use it in my class. And parents the same, do you have a book version of this that I can take away with me? So
We go through so many drafts of a play as well. The children are brutally honest with us, so if something's not working, they immediately tell us our first draft of A Little Man's Holiday. They're like, that doesn't have an ending. You haven't ended your piece. And we're like, oh, interesting. So we took that back into rehearsal. You know immediately when something doesn't work for a kid, and that's really great to work with.
So then there must be this moment, I guess scary and magical, when you know the ones that helped create it get to see it first.
Absolutely. That it's kind of very judgmental that we put a piece on and we know that they've had a direct influence into it. We show them and like Michael said, immediately you can tell if they like it or don't like it. 9 times out of 10 they do like it, and we can just find bits that they don't like or don't understand. But it's really important that they get to see the work first and that they're celebrated in that. So According to Arthur, was toured in Torquay around libraries there, in the low engagement areas, so that their families could come see the work that they were producing as well. It's a real celebration of their creativity.
It's interesting, we work with them as kind of workshop facilitators first, so they don't know us as characters. So it gets to a point where they come and see us and we're in role, and they try and speak to us still in characters, but then there's a really magical moment where they get lost in the play as well, and it becomes all about that shared space that we've created together. It's really nice.
That's something I'm very interested in. So we've got a script. Now I'm following the pirate hatted man into the rehearsal room, but you've got a play that's interactive. So how do you rehearse interaction?
With difficulty. We do a lot of it kind of blocking the points that we know we want to get to. Then we invite friends in. We've got a lot of mentors that help us in the space. And then I guess it's about taking it out. We've done a lot of scratch nights. We did Bristol. We've done
Salisbury Arts Centre.
And then that's where you find out what works and what doesn't, and how far you can really push those moments of interaction. There's nothing like doing it in the live moment when hundreds of paper cannonballs are flying at your head.
But I guess there has to be some sort of warm-up around doing improvisation, because you can't know how they're going to react. So there are these moments where the script has to end and then the unknown begins.
Yeah, it's about knowing, like, the point you've left off at and the point you're trying to get to, and then what happens in the middle of it is all a... It's often a blur.
I think it's really important. A lot of our interactions revolve around a certain game, so setting those rules in the script that the children or the adults who love it just as much can really involve themselves in the interaction, because they know the boundaries and the limits of the game that we're playing with them. What the one thing that we find hard but that we're trying to hone at the moment is coming out of character, sort of talking to the kids and trying to get their interaction, so making that a seamless journey that we're nailing with According to Arthur at the moment.
But also you've got, there's theatre makers, there's the theatre craft, there's the standards that you've set yourself, you know, to be reviewed professionally and all of that sort of stuff. So you're in other place at the basement, you're going to have lights, you've got a lovely space, and then you rock up at a library in Torquay. How do you claim spaces that are not built for theatre?
We started off in primary school, so no tech, no extra lighting, no on stage, no off stage, just us and the kids in a very simple set. And I think that's really like helped us hone the craft. It makes the play a self-contained entity that you can do in any state, anywhere really. I think the children, there's something quite magical in that it's just performers and the children in the space, and you create the world together, and anything additional comes from that space.
Yes, I think a lot of the kids we work with aren't theatre goers, neither are their parents, so actually performing in a library breaks that sort of barrier and is in a space that they go to and they're comfortable with. And actually we found it hard to put our performances in a theatre space, with lighting, with tech, and we've got a very close friend who helps us with that, and so we just see the theatre space and the lighting just adding another element to our show.
Right, so in a way you've got almost two shows. There's the one you do in theatres, and you can show up here and go, oh, well, there's a scary moment, we could bring some red up here, we can't do that in the library we're about to play in.
Yeah, it just becomes an additional play tool. We've got a spectre who lives on the island and haunts it, so we add in some green lights, and we've got a storm moment, so we add in some flashing lights. I think the kids appreciate that, but it's really fun to find other ways of telling those same stories, you know, getting the kids to be the waves, getting the kids to make the noises of the blowing wind and all that stuff.
Final question to both of you. So what have the children taught you about yourselves?
Wow. I think honesty is the main thing that they've taught me, is that you can I can immediately know when something isn't working, and it's not to be, and I can't be precious about that. And if I go in with an idea and it doesn't work, then it doesn't work, and I have to go back to the drawing board. And together as a company, we come up with something new. So I think just being really honest about your work and not being too precious.
And it taught me my imagination isn't half as wild as it used to be. I thought. I prepped all the kind of improv things that I thought might come up in According to Arthur, and some of the stuff I've been fed this week. I've had to sing a lullaby to a bear, get them to chase balls off stage, all on the kids' request. So that, it's been amazing, but kids are absolutely bonkers in their imagination.
I think we're going to end on that humble confession from a pirate. Paddle Boat Theatre Company, thanks very much indeed.
Thanks.